Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you for joining with me on the Word Podcast. We are continuing through 1 Corinthians. We're in chapter 16. We're at verses 8 and 9 again. We've been there for several episodes. I'm not even sure how long. Have we been here for a week now? Maybe. Because remember what Paul said. He's letting the people in Corinth know, I'm in Ephesus and I'm going to stay here until Pentecost. And the reason is this. A wide door of effective work. A wide door for effective service, as one translation says. When you look at the Greek word, it literally says empowerment. A wide door of power has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. And so we've gone back to chapter 19 of Acts to see what's being addressed here, what's being talked about. And we have some examples of the power that was falling. Well, we're at the end of the chapter today. We may even finish it. I'm going to try to. And what's happening is Demetrius has gathered together the tradesmen, and he's telling us some things. So let's go back and look at that. Verse 25. He said, men, you know that our prosperity depends upon this business. You see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but in almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away a considerable number of people, saying that gods made with hands are no gods at all. He continues to speak, verse 27. Not only is there danger that this trade of ours fall into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis be regarded as worthless, and that she, whom all of Asia and the world worship, will even be dethroned from her magnificence. And so in the previous episode, we sort of thought about this idea. There's a couple things happening here. He was worried about disrepute, that his trade would be looked upon with disrepute, and that the temple of Artemis would. He was really more worried about the money, but he knew that it was tied in to Artemis. And this whole thing of that the whole world worships Artemis, but Artemis will be dethroned because of what's occurring. Again, not much of a god if you can dethrone a god like this. Well, how do you think the people acted or reacted? Well, just like you see people acting and reacting today. And I want us to see a big picture here involved with something of this. You're going to see how they reacted first. They're furious and they're angry and they're mad. Just like the masses do today. All you have to do is turn on media sites, TV, whatever, and you can see it. Particularly if it's about 6 months out from an election. You can see where the masses are drawn together with some type of thing to create and foment this type of rage. Now, what you don't see is what we're going to see at the end of the chapter, where somebody speaks forth reasonably and dismisses the masses and they dismiss. You don't see that today, okay? So look what happens. Verse 28, when they heard this and were filled with rage, they began crying out, saying, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. So who's the they here? Well, he's talking with the tradesmen initially. So they're filled with rage because their money's being cut into. They start crying out, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. They start shouting this. They start declaring this. Verse 29, the city was filled with confusion, and they rushed with one accord into the theater, dragging along Gaius and Aristarchus, Paul's traveling companions from Macedonia. So these trademen fomented, I would say a rally, but it's a riot, okay? But it's a rally, basically. They grabbed two companions of Paul, drug them into the theater, football stadium, and they're shouting this, great as Artemis, great as Artemis. The people from the city start rushing in one accord because they hear something going on, but they don't know really what's happening. You'll see this, verse 30. And when Paul wanted to go into the assembly, the disciples would not let him go. And some of the Asiarchs, who were friends of his, sent to him and repeatedly urged him not to go into the theater. So the Asiarchs are political and religious officials from around there, from Asia. They heard what was going on. They heard that Paul wanted to go in there. So, folks, this took a period of time, okay? This rally riot kind of thing, this going crazy in the theater, Paul wanted to go in the dressing room. His friends, this tells us that he had friends that he had made within religious and political circles. They said, no, don't you go in there. Don't go in there. Verse 32. So then, Some were shouting one thing and some another. For the assembly was in confusion, and the majority did not know for what reason they had come together. They didn't know why they were there. They didn't know why the city had rushed into this. And you say, well, how can people be like that? To which I would say, are you kidding me? We see it all the time. We see that kind of thing. Most of them, the majority, did not know why they were there. One person over here is shouting one thing, some else is shouting something else. So it is a bit of a riot. Verse 33. Some of the crowd concluded it was Alexander, since the Jews had put him forward. And having motioned with his hand, Alexander was intending to make a defense to the assembly. So the Jews, the Jewish leadership, were putting Alexander up front, and they thought this was all brought forth because of Alexander. But verse 34, when they recognized that he was a Jew, a single outcry arose from all of them as they shouted for about 2 hours, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." So they started shouting, "Great!" Even when a Jew who probably would have spoken against Paul and probably would have said, "This is not us, this is some crazy sect," you know? But when they heard that he was a Jew, they start screaming for 2 hours, "Great is Artemis." Verse 35. After quieting the crowd, the town clerk, this is the guy that speaks with reason, the town clerk said, "Men of Ephesus, what man is there, after all, who does not know that the city of Ephesus is guardian of the temple of the great Artemis and of the image which fell down from heaven?" What? Yeah, they had this temple, they had Artemis, the great Artemis, and they had an image which fell down from heaven. What's that? They had a meteorite. They had a rock. And they worshiped the rock and they worshiped Artemis. And this fell down from heaven. It literally means fell down from Zeus, fell down from Jupiter. They felt like that this rock had been brought forth from one of their gods and they worshiped it. So he continues speaking, verse 36. "So since these are undeniable facts, you ought to keep calm and to do nothing rash. For you have brought these men here who are neither robbers of temples nor blasphemer of the goddess. So then, if Demetrius and the craftsmen who are with him have a complaint against any man, the courts are in session and the proconsuls are available. Let them bring charges against one another. But if you want anything beyond this, it shall be settled in the lawful assembly. For indeed, we are in danger of being accused of a riot in connection with today's events, since there's no real cause for it. And in this connection, we will be unable to account for this disorderly gathering." After saying this, he dismissed the assembly. That's the end of the chapter. He's sitting there saying, basically, "Hey, you're acting like idiots. Why are you acting this way? If Demetrius has got a problem, okay, if there's a problem, if Demetrius from the craftsmen, then guess what? We've got the courts are in session, the proconsuls here. But you know what? These guys have not robbed them. These guys haven't been blasphemers of our goddess. Yeah, they speak of another god, but they haven't been blasphemer of our goddess in that way. But the way that you're acting, you're going to be accused of a riot in connection with all this. And everybody's going to hear about how crazy you're acting. Boy, you talk about impacting your business then. What are you doing?" And he dismisses the assembly, and the assembly dismisses some wise counsel from a town clerk that they listen to. You know what? The wide door for effective empowerment will bring forth adversaries, will bring forth situations like this, but it will bring forth a harvest for the kingdom unlike anything that's been experienced before. Folks, this is what we should be aware of, what we should expect, what we should not be surprised when things like this happen. Lord, may wide doors of empowerment be released now in your name. Again, I'm Dale. Thank you for your time, and I'll see y'all in the next episode. Goodbye.